to us. We really appreciate it. And then thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach to your young people. We have enjoyed getting to know them and continue to look forward to doing that over the next couple days. It has been a blessing for my wife and I, and Lydia has enjoyed the attention as well that she's been able to enjoy together throughout these past couple days too. Look at John chapter 10, verse number 11 and 14, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Then in verse number 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And so we are reminded to be thankful that our shepherd is good, and he is good as the rescuing, protecting shepherd. Now take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 13 to understand another point about our shepherd. Not only is he good, but in Hebrews chapter 13, we read verse number 20 and 21. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20 and 21, the Bible says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the covenant of through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we understand that our shepherd is good, and then we also recognize that our shepherd is great. And because of that, there is a yieldedness and a willingness to live for him and to honor him with our lives. And then notice, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and note what it says as he is addressing the elders. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1, The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so we recognize that Christ is referred to the chief shepherd in this passage, that divine authority. So we've noted he is the good shepherd, he is the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. But let me simply ask you, is he your shepherd? And if he is your shepherd, are you yielded to him? And so that leads us to a very famous passage, Psalm 23, if you would join me there, Psalm 23. And before we have a word of prayer to ask once again God's blessing on our ears as we hear the word of God, we're going to let the words of Psalm 23 sink in. And regardless of whether this is the first time we've heard this psalm or if we have all six of the verses memorized, let's let the word impact our heart this evening. In this Psalm of David, he testifies, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as we consider our good, our great, and our chief shepherd, let's learn a little bit about how David testified and once again be reminded that if he could state, "The Lord, Almighty Jehovah God, is my shepherd," you and I most certainly can as well. And there is a peace that comes with that. There is a rest that comes with that. There is victory in the name of Jesus. And we simply individually can claim that in Christ. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we bow before you as a congregation, our heads are bowed in respect, but I pray that our hearts would be bowed as well. Lord, in humility, because in our pride, we understand that we are nothing. And we recognize that we need your leadership in our lives, and we need to be committed to it. We need to trust you. And I pray that in times of uncertainty, and we recognize in seasons of life that we go through individually, that we need an anchor. And I pray tonight we would be reminded of who you are and your divine authority, and that you would rev us up once again, that you would give us that shot in the arm that we need, that you would allow us to recognize you are our energy and driving force spiritually. We ask all of this now in Jesus' name. And all God's people prayed and said, amen. You know, the first thing that I recognize in Psalm 23 is what I can refer to as spiritual childhood or spiritual conversion, excuse me. Spiritual conversion number one is found in verse number one. The Bible says, "The Lord," and it references that person of our Godhead. And as we recognize the Lord in this passage, I simply want to remind you this evening that He is nothing like we are. We can trust Him in uncertain times. We can anchor everything about our being to who the Lord is. And therefore, wherever He guides us, we can trust Him. As I consider this spiritual conversion, I recognize in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is." And that little word "is" has the understanding of present tense. That means right now. And I recognize that David was testifying right now in my life. Now for you and me, listening to David's words, that's in the past. But the reality is, because of the good, the great, and the chief shepherd, and how everlasting and omnipotent and omnipresent he is somebody that can be trusted yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, one of his names is the Great I Am, and that is the ever-present one. We recognize he is at all times, and that simply doesn't make sense to the mind that is upon our head, in our head. But when we look at it and recognize that God is someone that cannot be clearly or fully understood in everything and everyone that he is, we simply trust that at all times he is. He never changes. No matter what season of life you are going through, you can rely in him presently. The Lord is, then the next word is simply my. And this is what I cannot make happen for you, but it's something that I can choose in my life, that he is personal to me, that there's been something that I've recognized about my God that would lead me to a spiritual conversion that would cause my dependence not to be on myself, but to be upon the Lord. And I can stand here and testify this evening that the Lord is my shepherd. And I ask you this question: is he your shepherd? Do you know him as your Savior? If you know him in this spiritual conversion, you can testify like David. The Lord is my shepherd. He is personally leading me. He is personally guiding me. He is personally protecting me. And if he is personally leading, guiding, and protecting you, what shall you fear? Come what may, let the stormy breezes blow. Their cry cannot alarm me. David had enough happen in his life to recognize that in this life, there's going to be trial. In this life, there's going to be hurt. In this life, there are going to be situations that he would rather not go through. I mean, to have one of his own sons want to kill him, yet David would still say, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is a personal God that protects me, guides me, he leads me, he provides for me. So I see that coming next in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The God of heaven, being the great provider of your life, knows how to meet your needs. And sometimes those needs aren't met the way that you think they are going to be met, or when you think they are going to be met. Let me give you a simple illustration from our life. 2019 was our first full year traveling in evangelism the second time around. We had 56 events in 2019. For those of you who I've talked to, I've told you that I don't get on the phone and it's just our way and our habit. I don't cold call preachers and ask for meetings. And so to have 56 events in 2019 was a blessing for our ministry. And then in 2020, well, you know what happened in 2020. But in 2020, we had one more event. We had 57 events in 2020. The Lord just opened doors and gave opportunities and blessed in that way. Now, I tell you that to say this and how the Lord provides and meets needs. In 2020, we needed a new vehicle. In 2020, to kick it off, we were given back in 2008 Toyota Prius with 48,000 miles on it. We had driven it to 2020 and it now has over 370 some thousand on it, and we've given it to somebody else and it's still going. But we needed a new vehicle for the traveling ministry. In 2020, the Lord allowed us to purchase a brand new RAV4 hybrid. Gets about 40,000 miles to the gallon. In 2020, we had our rental house where the new pastor that pastors on my behalf is living. The septic field went out. And that's at least $8,000. So again, back to 56 events in 2019, 57, only one more in 2020. Can you guess how the Lord provided and blessed? In 2020, we had twice as much income easily come in than we did in 2019. And the only thing that you can testify and say is it was God. We don't charge. We don't put a number on our being places. We trust God by faith to provide. And as you rest in God and recognize His ability, His foresight, His wisdom, that He is the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And as our southern friends like to say, the taters underneath the ground as well. He owns and is in charge of everything. And He can do with everything whatever He wants to do. And the Bible tells us and encourages us that the Lord is our shepherd, but more specifically for the individual, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this is what allows you to say, okay, God, if you are leading me into that ministry, or if you have led me to be a school teacher, or if you have led me to pastor this people, or if you have led me to go into foreign missions, to a dark country, to an unreached people group, I can trust you because there's no place on this earth that will ever keep you from being the good, the great, and the chief shepherd. When we jumped into evangelism, having from the pastorate. We were stepping away from the comforts of a home. We were stepping away from the comforts of financial security every week. We were stepping away from our very first, second emergency fund. Thank you, Dave Ramsey. And so we had about 2 to 3 months of money in the bank account. But when you've stepped out on nothing with nothing coming in, it's one thing to save money. It's another thing to spend money that you've saved. And I remember that one point when it came down to the last little bit of that second emergency fund in the bank account. And we're looking to God and we're praying, Lord, we're asking for meetings. We're trying to walk by faith and not in foolishness. You've led us to this spot and we're just trusting you. And no joke, as I've told some of the teenagers and some of those who have counseled at Camp Joy, we walked over to the mailbox that last week of money in the bank account. We opened the mailbox, and would you believe it? There was a $10,000 check in the mailbox. This stuff isn't supposed to happen to me. This isn't the way this life goes for Justin Smith. But let me tell you, Justin Smith isn't an ordinary person because he has an extraordinary God. He has a God who loves him even though he's a sinner, even though he needs merciful moment after merciful moment. There's still a testimony over my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I can trust him. So then notice point number two, and this is where the spiritual childhood comes in. Point number one, spiritual conversion. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? I shall not want. Verse number two, spiritual childhood. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Have you ever noted how God has a way of knowing exactly what you need, when you need it, whether you thought you needed it or not? Let me put it like this. If you are a parent, have you ever recognized that there are times where your child needs a nap, doesn't need the sugar, needs to wake up, and then you pursue to do something because you are the God-given authority in their life and you want to lead them in the right way? And we are challenged with our good and our great and our chief shepherd that there are times in our life where he makes us to lie down because he knows that we need rest. It was the month of March 2021. March 1st, every single year, my dad has a birthday, imagine that. And every single year, dad wants to be skiing in Colorado. We don't go to any of the real big resorts, but for around the Wisconsin, Northern Illinois, and Iowa area, the resort that we go to is a family resort and a little bit bigger than what you find around here. You're not looking over your shoulder all the time or standing in a long line. It's a very beautiful place. Well, this particular Monday, the first day for me to snowboard, I get on my snowboard and I'm going up and down the mountains. And then I see on the very last run of what we call the black side, these are the diamond, black diamond side of the mountain, I see that my brother and my family, and then there's my nephew, and he's going down his first black diamond run. And I thought, I want to get this on video. So I go up real quick. Or as quick as the lift would take me, I strap onto my board real quick and I head down the mountain. I flew by my family. I didn't get hurt flying by my family. I got hurt going uphill. Who does that? I did that. As I was going uphill at high speed, I didn't see that there was a trail cut out of the hill. With my goggles on, I couldn't see it. And my right foot in my boot and binding sank really fast into that trail as I was going uphill. And I heard something pop in my right ankle. I looked at my brother who met up with me after that, and I videoed my nephew coming down. I looked at my brother and said, I think I gotta go in. I think my foot is swelling. Guess what I did not do the rest of the week in Colorado? I didn't put a ski boot on. I didn't put a snowboard boot on. By Saturday morning, heading to Laramie, Wyoming to preach, I could barely press on the gas pedal with that foot. The Lord knew a ski vacation wasn't going to be very restful for me, obviously. Justin, I'm going to give you an opportunity to rest. And I tell you what, our perspective in that moment, no problems, only opportunities. This is an opportunity to be able to take the rest that my good and my great and my chief shepherd has given me. I don't like to rest like that. I like to spend my energy. I like to move forward and go. But God says, nope, boop, you're going to stop for a while. And God knows exactly how to do that for each and every one of us, doesn't he? Notice in the spiritual childhood, verse number 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. There's several things I'm skipping over, but I want you to notice the restoring of the soul. And I want you to think about how in your childhood, even David would pray, remember not the sins of my youth. And as you consider your childhood and maybe some of the foolish decisions that you have made, and I made so many myself, I am so thankful for the restoring work of God in my life. And there are times where I recognize, like David, that I need a restoration, not just in my physical, but in my soul. And when I think of the word restoration, I think about my daddy taking a farmhouse of over 150 years old and gutting the whole house out and removing the lather, horsehair plaster. And as he's removing it, finding unique things. Like back in the day, straight-edged, double-edged were taken, and after they were used, they were put in a slit in the back of the vanity, and the wall would hold, chest high, double-edged razors. My dad was restoring an Irish home. He wasn't hoping to find razors. He was hoping to find gold, but he didn't find any of that. If you stepped into his house right now, you would find a home that's been beautifully restored, but has a Victorian look to it. He did a lot of work on that home to bring it about to where it is now. A restoring work. Sometimes it can go quick, but most of the time when you recognize the restoration process, it's just that. But in time, what a beautiful thing. He hath made all things beautiful in his time. And as David would understand shepherding and leading sheep, he recognized that sheep would need a time to rest. They would need the green pastures to eat. They would need the still pools of water that weren't rushing, that could sweep them away. They would need a place of safety where the prey had been picked off as much as possible by the shepherd. And David would say, if there's anybody I can trust in my spiritual childhood, it is the Lord. He is my He is good, he is great, and he is chief. Then I notice this in verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We were recently in Alaska at the end of the road, one of the end of the roads. There's lots of end of the roads in Alaska, but this particular place is called Homer. We were at a place called Homer Independent Baptist Church. There was about 30 people from Fairfax Baptist Temple in Virginia that had joined up with this church the same week we were there, and the kids with the teen group were painting the church. And then one day we went outside and we digged up the dirt and we were going to lay the conduit to run lighting to their sign. It was one of the projects for the Missions Week. As I consider this, the Lord has paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I think about what we dug up in the ground and where we laid the conduit, there was only one place where that conduit was supposed to go. And by design, we had already flipped up the earth and digged a little deeper, and now we're we're laying the conduit where it is intended to go. And don't you know, God has an intended path for your life, and it's never been in the way of wickedness. It is always been in the way of righteousness. There is a path that He wants you to take. Now, I'm not talking about all the individual paths that God may have for different ways He leads different people, but I'm talking about the path He's leading the believer on, being the path of righteousness. Don't go the other way. Go God's way, His way. Spiritual children need spiritual leadership. And God is so good to say to His children, I will lead you, will you follow? Look at what it says in verse number 4. This is spiritual crisis. We've moved from spiritual conversion to spiritual childhood, now to spiritual crisis. David begins to change his talk. In verse 1, 2, and 3, he's talking about his Savior to others. But in verse 4 and following, he's talking to his God. Notice how the valley changes his talk. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You have to understand there's so much within Psalm 23 that I'm skipping over and picking as I feel the Lord is leading as I preach. But what I feel He wants us to rest on from this verse of spiritual crisis is that the Bible says in verse number 4, yea, though I walk through. The understanding is there's a through to the crisis. There's a through to the valley. There's an end that is in sight. Well, preacher, what if I'm plagued the rest of my days with this particular valley? Then let me encourage you and say that you could be like Paul, who raises his hands and says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Jesus, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide with you is more needful. Here's an opportunity in my valley, the rest of my days, knowing there's ultimately a through. There's ultimately the splendor of God's glory. There's ultimately an out to the sin curse on this earth. But right now, I can trust that even in the valley, God is good. Spiritual crisis. The Lord is my good, my great, and my chief shepherd. Notice how it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Fear no evil. We were talking at the lake today, and I brought up a statement that I had read from a particular book that said, studies have shown, and I don't know how they know this because I don't remember anything from the day that I was born, okay? But from the day that we are born, we are only born with two fears. The fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. And then that study goes on to say, all the other fears are learned. And as Brother Buchart, I believe it is, said, man, we've learned a lot, haven't we? And it's so true. But yet David would say, of all the things there is to be fearful of, that bear that's attacking my sheep, that lion that's attacking my sheep, the Goliath that's coming to the valley, all the fears that I could fear, I recognize something. I don't have to fear evil. And here is why. Thou art with me. I read a story of a mother who would not let the grandpa take the child out of the playpen for whatever reason. The child began to cry. The child wanted out of the playpen. But grandpa decided he was going to respect the mother's decision, but he was going to do something about it. So he threw one leg over the playpen and the other leg over the playpen, and he got into the playpen with the child. And because grandpa was now with the child, everything was okay in the child's life. And when we recognize that He is with us, He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When we recognize the comfort of our shepherd in the middle of fears, we can rest at ease. It's kind of like the little kid who may have already been in bed when the thunder and lightning started tonight. And as the thunder started crashing and the lightning started flashing, they startled to being awake. And the very first thing that they did was either called for or got out of bed and they ran to their mother and their father's room. Maybe they jumped in the bed. Maybe mom and dad came back to their room. But either way, the presence of mom and dad comforted the child during the storm. And Brother Deitch, isn't it such a wonderful thing to know that whatever fear might be overwhelming us, when God is with us, it's okay. What's it say in 1 John chapter 4? It says, perfect love casteth out fear. Man, I know I have times in my life where I walk into the house and a fearful scream comes from the house. It's a spider. Did I hear somebody ask for a hero? And I run into the room and I grab the spider and I cast it out in some variation of the form. I get rid of what it was that was causing the scream. It sounded like today in one of the boats, somebody needed a hero, okay? For those teenagers who were there. As you consider the fears that are in your life, your shepherd is good, your shepherd is great, your shepherd is chief, and he knows how to comfort you with his presence. But sadly, we need to be more practiced in one of the prominent definitions of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit teaches. Yes, the Holy Spirit rebukes. But Jesus says, behold, I send you another comforter. The Holy Spirit of comfort has been designed for our spiritual crises where we need somebody to cast out that fear and cast out that torment. We can trust in our God. He is good. He is great. He is chief. Notice then spiritual Canaan. In verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And I remember reading about certain shepherds who would go out into the back 40, into the shepherding meadows where they would lead their sheep. And they would go out into the mountain meadows well before they would lead their sheep there. They would take their kids and they would pick poisonous plants from the valley. They would dam up rushing brooks or rivers to provide a still body of water. They would then take their modern day weapon of a sling. They would take a rifle and pick off bears and pick off the mountain lions. And this particular shepherd was in the Rocky Mountains. And all that he was doing was preparing as best as he could a safe place to lead his sheep. But here's what the shepherd inevitably knows. Though they've done what they've could, there is still an enemy. And as you consider the Lord being your great shepherd, one of these days, the accuser of the brethren, he's going to be completely taken out. But until then, here's what we learn from a modern day shepherd. The modern day shepherd has written that when I was one night laying there asleep, and I had my sheep around me with me in the center, all of a sudden, I heard a blood-curdling cry from one of my sheep. I awoke to the fact that they were being attacked by a mountain lion. I did what I could as I scrambled for my gun. I chased in the direction of the scream, but I was too late. And the shepherd would say, inevitably, the sheep that are in the most danger are those who are furthest away from me. And that challenged me as I realized I'll never be free from enemies this side of eternity. But I can be close to my Lord and Savior. I can draw closer and closer like the beloved John. I can recognize that he is the one that I need to draw close to. Instead of being on the fringe, I can draw nigh to my Jesus. He can be the shepherd just like David talked about in my life. He's good, he's great, and he's chief. And I need to respect him as so. And then real quickly in verse 6, I see a spiritual coronation. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Brother DeClean, as I was reading through this verse, I was reminded of a preacher who said, "I used to have two cats." And the preacher said, I forget the preacher's name, "I named them Goodness and Mercy." He said, "Cats, they love to follow you wherever you go." He said, "I wanted to be reminded every time my cats followed me of the goodness and mercy of the Lord, that as I'd look back on my life, I would recognize, yes, there's the goodness of the Lord in my life. Yes, there's the mercy of God in my life." And David would say it just like we can say it. As we draw nigh to our shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. What a pattern to look back on. What an understanding to have. God was good there. God was merciful there. God was good there. God was, I sure didn't deserve that, but thank you so much, God. What an awesome thing that is. All because the Lord is my shepherd. This evening, I don't know where you are at with the Lord. I don't know if you need to come to Him for salvation and eternal life, or if maybe it's just, wow, I can never imagine this life becoming so tight and causing me to feel so restricted and even spiritually come to a point of caring less than I ever had about the things of God. Maybe we just need to be reminded that there's nothing that's happened that has changed who our God is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I had two teenage girls in my church of a handful. Two of them were sisters, and constantly they were saying words I wasn't used to. One of those words was, "Pastor, Pastor, I'm shook right now. Pastor, I'm shook." The other would come up, the other word that came up that I could understand shook a little bit was, "Pastor, I'm triggered. I'm triggered right now." I could understand in context what she was referring to. So it came time for her graduation from high school. And she did what some of those graduates from high school do. "Hey, we've got a box in the room here, and this box is where you write a little something down to kind of encourage the graduate. And you can kind of fold it up and put it in the box, and they can open it and read it later and be encouraged." So as pastor, I was there at the church early that morning, saw the box. "Lord, what would you like me to write?" The thought came to my mind, shook or triggered. I said, "God's got this figured." I know it's "God has this figured," right? For those English in here. Shook or triggered, God has it figured. He's our good shepherd. He's our great shepherd. He's our chief shepherd. This young lady opened up. "Pastor, oh, that's so awesome. This is going to be like my life motto for the rest of my days." I don't know if that's been the case, but I hope it sticks. And I hope it sticks with me. And I hope it sticks with you. Because whatever's going on, God knows. And God can lead you through it. Let's allow our hearts to be anchored to Him tonight. As I pray and then turn things over to Pastor, let's commit our way to the Lord. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this evening, we thank You for the wonderful psalm of the living, the wonderful psalm of trust that was penned down by one of Your men, a man after Your own heart. And as I'm drawn to wanting to be a man like that, I pray that You would challenge me in the areas of my life continued to be somebody who recognizes You as the good, the great, and the chief shepherd of my life. And if there's somebody here that doesn't know You, I pray that this evening would be the evening where it's brought into question concerning their eternity, and that they would believe You by faith. And then for the believer, I pray that there would be a renewed trust and a renewed dependence, that we wouldn't be so independent that we would lose our dependence upon You. Thank You for Your kindness, Your goodness, and Your mercy. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.